Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at a story that's got a lot of intrigue and inspiration in it. It's the story of Rahab, a Canaanite woman who becomes this unlikely hero in the Book of Joshua. And we're going to be using excerpts from a lecture series by Dr. David Howard to help us understand it.
Yeah, it's a story that makes you really think about faith and courage.
Mm-hmm.
And how God does some pretty amazing things when you least expect it.
Right. So to set the scene, the Israelites, led by Joshua, they're getting ready to take over Jericho. And to get a feel for the place, Joshua sends out two spies. It wasn't exactly a secret mission, though, right? I mean, the king of Jericho basically knew they were there right away.
Yeah, you're right. Not very sneaky. Makes you wonder about how good the Israelites were at spying.
It does. The spies need a place to hide. And they end up at Rahab's house. Dr. Howard actually talks a lot about why they chose her place, and it's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's been a lot of back and forth about whether they went to her place because she was a prostitute. But Dr. Howard has some pretty strong arguments for why it might have been more strategic.
What do you think he says?
Well, he points out that Jericho was this big trading hub. So a place like Rahab's, it would have been a place with tons of travelers, tons of information going around, the perfect place to blend in and maybe even pick up some intel.
That makes a lot of sense. Blending in, overhearing secrets and stuff. But she does more than just give them a place to stay, right? When the king's men come looking for the spies, Rahab sends them in a completely different direction, like towards the fords of the Jordan River.
Oh, right, the fords. Those are the shallow parts of the river you can cross.
Yeah.
Super important for traveling and escaping.
Ah, I see. But sending the king's men in the wrong direction, that was pretty risky. I mean, she basically lied to protect them. So Dr. Howard brings up a big ethical question here. Is lying ever okay? Even if it means saving someone's life?
It's tough. People have been debating that for ages. Dr. Howard actually goes through a bunch of different viewpoints on it. Everything from saying lying is always wrong to saying that saving a life is more important than anything else. He recognizes how hard it is to make those decisions in extreme situations.
And Rahab was definitely in an extreme situation. But it's not just what she did. It's what she said that really got me. She doesn't just help the spies. She also makes this powerful declaration of faith in the God of Israel.
It is pretty remarkable. She tells the spies that she knows the Lord has given them the land and that everyone in Jericho is terrified of them because of their reputation and because their God is so powerful.
She even says, "Our hearts melted and there was no spirit left in any man because of you." Like, talk about a total power shift.
Yeah. And what's interesting is the irony that Dr. Howard points out here. Remember how years earlier, it was the Israelites who were scared of the Canaanites. They thought they were like grasshoppers compared to them. And their lack of faith led to them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now the Canaanites are the ones who are afraid.
It really makes you think, if the Israelites had been a little more like Rahab back then, maybe they wouldn't have spent 40 years lost in the desert.
Maybe not. But there's more to Rahab's faith than that. She says, "The Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." That statement is really important for understanding how she completely breaks away from her own culture's beliefs.
Okay. To be honest, I'm a little fuzzy on my Canaanite religion. Can you give me a little refresher on why that statement is so important?
Sure. Rahab grew up worshiping a whole bunch of gods, but the main one was Baal, the storm and fertility god. So when she says that Yahweh is the God of both heaven and earth, she's basically rejecting everything she's ever known. It's a radical statement of faith.
So she's saying, like, my old gods, they're nothing compared to this God of yours.
Exactly. Imagine how much courage it took for her to say that, knowing what could happen to her.
It does make you wonder how she even came to understand Yahweh like that. Did she study the Israelites' beliefs in secret or something? I mean, it's not like they had synagogues everywhere back then.
Dr. Howard talks about that, too. He thinks maybe, even in ancient times, word got around. Living in a place like Jericho, Rahab probably heard stories about the God of Israel for years. Maybe she was drawn to the power and faithfulness she heard about.
Kind of like how we might be drawn to a new idea or philosophy today. Just a little bit of curiosity that leads to wanting to learn more.
Exactly. Or, and this is where it gets really interesting, Dr. Howard thinks that the author of Joshua, to really emphasize Rahab's faith, maybe intentionally used words that echoed earlier scriptures. Specifically phrases from the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy.
Wait, so when she says Yahweh is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath, is that a direct quote from those texts?
Exactly. Dr. Howard points out how similar the language is.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. Makes you think about how the Bible was written. Was Rahab divinely inspired to use those exact words? Or did the author of Joshua just write it that way to make a theological point?
People have been debating that for a long time. And we may never know for sure. But that doesn't change the power of Rahab's faith. She put her life on the line because she believes in the God of Israel.
Right, and that faith leads to the next big part of her story, the agreement she makes with the spies to keep her and her family safe when Jericho falls.
That's right, the scarlet cord, a symbol of their covenant, a promise of protection. You know, I think this might be a good place to stop for now. And then we can pick up the rest of Rahab's story in part two of this deep dive.
Yeah, that scarlet cord. It's a powerful image, isn't it? So simple, but so much meaning.
It really is. It's like this visual reminder of the promise Rahab got for her and her family. Speaking of her family, I wonder what they thought about all of this. Did they believe in God too? Were they scared? Hiding in a house that was about to be attacked?
That's a really good question. Unfortunately, Dr. Howard doesn't really go into that. The text doesn't say anything about what they believed or felt. But it does make you think about how our faith affects the people around us. Like, how often do our choices have an impact on our loved ones? That's a good point. But we do know that Rahab's faith saves her in the end. When the walls of Jericho fall, she and her family are spared because of that scarlet cord hanging in her window. It shows that God keeps his promises, even the ones he makes to someone who used to be an enemy.
It's a reminder that God's grace can reach anyone, even people we might not expect. Rahab, a Canaanite woman, a former prostitute. She finds not only safety, but also a place in the lineage of Jesus.
Wait a minute. Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus. Whoa. Tell me more about that.
You're right. That's a big deal. It's easy to miss that detail in the story, but it's really important. The Gospel of Matthew traces Jesus's family tree all the way back to Abraham, and right there in the list, along with all the patriarchs and kings, is Rahab.
That's amazing. Out of all the people Matthew could have included, why Rahab? Why is she in Jesus's family tree?
Well, Dr. Howard has some interesting ideas about that. First, it challenges us to think about who belongs in God's story. Rahab was a woman who lived on the edge of society. People looked down on her. But she's part of the story of salvation.
It's like Matthew is saying, look, God's plan isn't just for the rich and powerful or the perfect people. It's for everyone who chooses to trust in him, no matter who they are or what they've done.
Exactly. And it's not just Rahab. Matthew includes four other women in Jesus's genealogy. And they're all women who are seen as outsiders or who have some controversy in their lives. Tamar, Ruth, Bathsheba, and of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus.
That's interesting. So four out of the five women mentioned in Jesus's family tree were considered outsiders or had difficult stories. What do you think Matthew is trying to say by including them?
I think it's a powerful message about how inclusive God's grace is. Matthew is showing us that God's love is for everyone, even people who society rejects or judges. He's showing us that anyone can find redemption and belonging if they choose to follow him.
It's like he's turning the idea of family and inheritance upside down. It's not just about bloodlines and power. It's about faith and following God, even when it means going against what society expects.
Exactly. It challenges us to think about our own biases. Who are we excluding from our compassion and understanding?
It makes me think about that quote from Dr. Howard, the one about God's plan being like a tapestry woven from different threads. Rahab's story is a perfect example of that. She's this bright thread, adding something unique and beautiful to the bigger picture of faith.
And her story still speaks to us today. It reminds us that God sees beyond our labels and mistakes. He sees our potential for change and offers forgiveness to anyone who seeks him.
Rahab's journey from being a Canaanite prostitute to a hero of faith and an ancestor of Jesus. It's a powerful reminder that God can do amazing things in anyone's life.
It really is.
I think we've covered a lot today. We've talked about the history, the ethics, and the theological meaning of Rahab's story. We've gone from the fords of the Jordan River to the walls of Jericho and all the way to Jesus' family tree. This has been quite a deep dive.
It has. Maybe we should take a break here.
Yeah.
And then come back with our final thoughts in part three.
We've come a long way with Rahab. From the streets of Jericho to a place in Jesus's family. It makes you think, if Rahab, a Canaanite woman, someone who wasn't really accepted by society, if she could find redemption and become a part of God's plan, what does that say about anyone's potential for change?
It's a deep question. Rahab's story. It breaks down all those ideas we have about who deserves grace and who belongs. It challenges us to look past appearances and labels and see that spark of God in everyone.
Yeah, like she's showing us a much bigger picture of God's love and mercy. It's not just for people who fit into our little boxes of what's right or respectable. It's for everyone, even those who are pushed aside, the outcasts, the people we don't expect.
And what's amazing is that Rahab didn't just sit back and wait for things to happen. She chose to act on her faith. She risked everything to help the spies and side with the God of Israel. It shows the power of free will and the courage it takes to embrace something new.
It reminds me of when she hid those spies and told the king's men they were gone. That was a huge risk. She even lied to protect them. It shows us that sometimes doing what we think is right, it can lead us into situations where there's no easy answer.
You're right. Rahab's story doesn't shy away from those tough situations. It invites us to really wrestle with the hard questions, to think about different perspectives on what it means to live a life of faith. It reminds us that faith isn't always about following blindly. It's about figuring out the right thing to do when things get complicated.
And I think that's why her story still resonates with people today, thousands of years later. We all have moments where we have to decide what we believe and then act on those beliefs, even when it's scary. Or when people might judge us.
Absolutely. And just like Rahab, we might find that those moments of courage, those leaps of faith, they lead us to unexpected blessings and a deeper understanding of God's grace.
So to everyone listening, we leave you with this. Whose story will you really take the time to hear today? Who are the unexpected heroes in your life? The people whose experiences and perspectives might challenge you and help you understand faith and redemption in a new way?
Let Rahab's story inspire you to look beyond what you see on the surface, to seek out the unexpected, and embrace the power of grace in your own life and in the lives of those around you.
And that wraps up our deep dive for today. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep discovering the amazing stories that shape our understanding of the world and our place in it.